Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tonight it's very clear as we're both lying here. There's so many things I want to say.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks. Disruptive outburst.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it
you
does make not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
The law requires that prior to consideration of the tentative budget, an explanation of the rollback rate be provided and entered into the records. The rollback rate is a computed millage rate that will generate the same amount of ad valorem tax dollars as the prior fiscal year based on the proposed year's tax roll, excluding new construction. The millage rates tentatively approved by the board for trim notification are 6.600 for the countywide millage rate.
All right, it's going to be important for today's conversation for you to understand what a rollback rate is. The concept of the rollback rate is if you have total valuation of property in Escambia or anywhere else, and you apply the millage rate to it from last year, you raised a certain amount of money. That property value went up, not including new construction, so prices go up, and the total amount of new valuation times a certain number, X, to produce the same total revenue for the county or city or whatever unit you're talking about, in this case, talking about Escambia County, that's the rollback millage. So if 6 mills, or actually 6.6 is the actual number for Escambia County, that means that it's that many, you multiply that by the number of thousands in your house. So $100,000 house times 6.6, your property tax bill for the county is $660. $200,000 home, $1,320. $300,000 home, $1,980. Okay? And so that's how it works. There's a lot of things to explain to understand in order to get this conversation at the Escambia County budget hearing. But everybody's property values are generally, usually, in a non-terrible economy, the property values go up. And since the inflation of the property values, if you keep the same millage, you're going to actually have a tax increase, is how the state defines it, because you pay more. And that's all that matters, is you pay more. So what's the number to keep that total the same? That's the rollback rate. In this case, the rollback rate, you know what? I had it right in front of me. It was in my head. The rollback rate in Escambia would be, it's 6.3 something or other, 371, something like that. So keep that number in mind. They're going to talk about this a lot. All right. Ashley Hoffberger wants to have basically the full rollback rate. That would be a difference of $7 million in collections. So if they do the rollback rate, they make the same amount of money next year. If they do 6.6, they'd collect $7 million more from all of us, if that's the easiest way to think of it. Steve Stroberger is going to come in with a less robust reduction, about $1 million. Okay, there's going to be talk about $1 or $2 million, but the full rollback is about $7 million worth. Meaning that the county is scheduled to collect $7 million more by doing the same millage, not a percent increase at 6.6 mils. Okay, that's your quick tutorial on millage this morning. And this meeting quickly got out of hand in a thousand different ways. Stephen Barry jumps in at the beginning and tries to bum rush the ending out of order because it's not where they were on the agenda.
All right, Madam Chair, if the item to be discussed right now is the adopting of the budget for the year, I move that item.
Okay, noted. Thank you.
And so, I second that, noting that that's 99% of the budget.
Well, okay, can I make... There had been a little conversation about the community partners, the, you know, less than 1% of the money that the county gives through what used to call discretionary funds plus community partners. Don't worry about that. That turned out to be not an important part of this conversation yesterday.
Well, okay, can I make
a
comment?
Did you guys want to follow the agenda, or is it just a free-for-all? Because the board action is after number 7. So if you...
We're on 1.
I'm following the agenda. It's the millage rate. That's what we're following. You're voting on, are we going to accept the tentative millage rate? That's what we're voting on.
So this, we're... That's not until later on the agenda.
Yeah, we're not even to that yet, sir. And he was talking about the full budget, which is all the way at the end. So, you know, it was chaos from the beginning from not the chair. Now, I think if you watch this meeting, one theory you could have is it just had a bunch of chaos. Another theory you could have is there was a grand plan to create a bunch of chaos. Because the end result of all the chaos was some pretty wild stuff, okay? I have no basis for believing that there was any sunshine violations, collusion, conspiracy. I'm just always asking you the question, you know, when you see something like what happened in this meeting happen, there's a part of you that wants to ask, you know, what exactly happened? So the first thing that they've got to do is they've got to handle the community partners and how much money goes to them. And Wes Moreno says 10% cut across the board, which is a reduction. And that's in anticipation of the property tax amendment passing.
Requesting that the board make a final determination tonight regarding the funding amount to be allocated to each of our community partners. The funding determination is necessary to prepare the fiscal year 26-27 community partner funding agreements and to issue the associated purchase orders in a timely fashion. These purchase orders will come before the board for formal approval in October of 26. I will say that most of your community partners were cut by 10% of what they were allocated last year, with the exception of the hospitals.
Because, I mean, that doesn't... Okay, so they're finally going to get into talking about the millage, the budget, what the reductions are, and Lumen May, you know, who's never really interested in any reduction, says, well, I can live with a $1 million cut, which would be a proposed millage of like 6.571, if I remember correctly. It's 0.029 of a reduction. If you're keeping Sarah at home, that means $2.90 per $100,000. So your property tax bill will go down by... $9 if you have a $300,000 home. So you follow me that this is not a significant tax savings, but it is a cut-ish. It would mean that the county would only take $6 million more from you than it took last year instead of $7 million more, and that's kind of been Steve Stroberger's proposal. So Lumen says...
Anticipation, we don't know what's going to happen with the Amendment 3. I mean, can we get to those reductions without reducing the millage rate, or is the only way that we can get these reductions without millage rate? I mean, can we cut? Can we eliminate? Can we find other items in which we can, you know, at least get to $1 or $2 million of reductions?
So he is saying, I'm willing to see a $1 or $2 million reduction in the budget, but I don't want to cut the millage rate, which you might be saying, well, then how is it a reduction for me? It's not. He's talking about spending less but taking in the same, which is, what? How? Who does that help? Well, nobody. And that's the weirdness of his position. Stephen Hall, Stephen Hall, sorry, the budget director.
We have had quite a few discussions, you know, around maybe $1 million reduction. I do think that we can absorb $1 million reduction and reduce the millage to, again, give additional property tax relief similar to what we did last year.
Okay, last year they reduced it by $500,000, which means that instead of taking, I don't think the number is quite the same, but instead of taking 7 more this year, they took 6.5 more this year. Okay, it's not really a reduction. It's a, you know, it's taking less of the more, right? If you want to think of it that way. But I know sometimes following all this, but he says, look, you know, if we go to 6.571 instead of 6.600, we can find $1 million in reduction for the millage. Okay? Okay, so far, so good. Steve Stroberger.
If we're talking about reducing the budget, then it's meaningless if we don't also reduce the millage rate. I think they go hand in hand for taxpayers.
Right. He's responding to Lumen May. He's like, what do you mean? Why would we reduce the budget without reducing the millage? We're going to take in the same amount of money. We're just not going to spend it, and we're not going to give people any of a tax break. Like, what are you talking about, man?
You could reduce expenses without reducing the millage rate, because once you reduce the millage rate, you get locked into the millage rate, and you don't know what the tax is going
to
be.
Well, okay, yeah, fair enough. It's hard to raise the millage. It's easier to lower it, and we don't know what's going to happen with the property tax amendment, but As a taxpayer, gives me no thrill at all for you to just spend less money because you're still taking the same from me, or in fact, taking more from me, which is, why would I care about that?
Trust me, I've gone through these books and can figure out some ways in which we can reduce.
You're the one who suggested $2
million. We could take it out without the reducing the milk trade, though.
So, again, $1 to $2 million reduction in the budget, as in what you're planning to spend, but no reduction in the tax collections. That's what Lumen is proposing. And, you know, even talking about $2 million is actually a lot from their perspective.
It's just like taking your time and combing through it. I mean, I don't see why you can't find $2 million in, you know, almost $800 million budget without reducing the milk rate. So
his view is, if we're just better stewards of the budget, we can find $1, $2 million we can just cut with no big deal, not affect real services, not affect who we're employing. The county can just, you know, trim the fat. To which I think, well, why don't you just do that anyway, regardless? Why haven't you done that previously? Seems like that's actually kind of your job. But, you know, if we're just, you know, sitting around in surplus of $1 to $2 million. Now, granted, it's a huge budget, you know, $800 million. Although general fund from taxes is really only more like $300 or $350, something like that. The other stuff is all these different sources of revenue. But, you know, he says, sure, we can find money. Mike Kohler.
No one's actually put a proposal up that says what you want to take out of District 1 or District 4 or District 2.
The context there is District 1 is Steve Stroberger. He's proposing a slight rollback. District 4 is Ashley Hoffberger. She's proposing a larger rollback. She would be in favor of one, okay, a full rollback. But she doesn't think that's really – she's not sure that's even possible or people would be willing. So she's really pushing for one that's like 1.6, I think, something like that is kind of what she had in mind of millions of reduction, which would put the millage more in the like 6.5-ish vicinity, I think.
Say $1 million, that's about 15 FTEs. You want less FTEs in your district for code? You want to give up a park? You want to cut your library services? What do you want to put on the table?
15 employees, what are you willing to actually do?
Anything? Or are we just talking fuzzy talk? Here's the problem. I went through all the other constitutional budgets again. All of them have been bloated. Stefan, we sat down and talked about every single one of them.
Okay, bookmark that thought. All of the constitutional officers, that's the sheriff, that's the tax collector, that's the clerk of the court, the supervisor of elections. He says those are all bloated. That is going to come back later, heavy. So is it just fuzzy talk? Are you willing to make actual cuts? Are you willing to cut services? And, you know, these constitutional officers, if we're cutting our budget, they're cutting their budget, too. At least I think so, because they have surplus where we don't have as much.
We're not not one constitutional is going to look bad about this budget. We are. We're going to be crooks. We didn't cut enough. Every single thing. I can go through every single one of them and show you cuts that they should be cutting. And you want to say, let's just cut $2 million out of the budget.
Well, I mean, if that's the plan, then, you know, do it. And which, by the way, the historic practice of, you know, the counties is usually the constitutional officers have a budget and they come to them and they say, we need to hire these many people. We're cutting back in this area, working on this technology. We're building this thing. Here's the budget that we need. And they basically say yes. The theory is that the county funds the constitutional officers, but the constitutional officers are elected by you. And if you elected them, then they are supposed to basically get what they ask for budget wise. Because you elected them and they have, you know, jobs mandated by the state for what they're supposed to do. And, you know, there's never really been that I can remember a time when they basically told them, no, we're not giving you the money that you want. There have been disagreements, mostly with the sheriff's department, because that is such a big chunk of money. But, you know, that usually works out in the end, except remember when Sheriff Morgan took the county to the governor and basically told him they won't do what we need to do and eventually got resolved. But, you know, sometimes it's more amicable, sometimes it's not. But for all the other ones, you know, all of the, you might say lesser than the sheriff, but they're not really. They're all elected officials. You know, those folks pretty much all get their stuff funded. Well, Mike Kohler says, look, you know, we need to be serious about this. If we're talking about cuts, what service in your district are you willing to cut? Because saying that we're just going to find squishy money and get rid of it is not sincere.
Tell me where you want to cut them. Do you want to cut your staff? Because if I'm going to come to the table, I'm going to put my skin in the game. I'm not just going to go to Wes or to Stefan or a director and say, go cut it. No, I'm going to put my skin in the game and say which park, which library, which personnel, which road isn't going to get resurfaced. And that's not what we're talking about here. So I think we need to be honest with ourselves.
although the library is on a separate funding line, so that's not right. And, you know, yes, parks and roads, those are more in line with, you know, what is it that you're not going to do? Stormwater maintenance, all of that kind of stuff. Lumen May.
I mean, we can't reduce. I mean, it's politically conservative, whatever y'all want to say. It's fine. But if we can't find $2 million, then shame on us. We can give a directive without telling someone to cut the millage rate because the unknown is the unpredictable.
If we can't find $2 million to cut, shame on us. Well, sir, why didn't you do it last year or the year before that? I mean, if it's so easy to find $2 million in the budget, then why are you taking more money in taxes than you should and spending it on things you shouldn't and having that waste in the budget? That's basically been the allegation of the governor with the Florida Doge is y'all have, you know, too much surplus in there.
We can cut $2 million across the board, Commissioner Cole, in my opinion, without directly affecting services.
And okay, that's what he's been saying. Okay, Steve Stroberger.
So nobody's in favor of a millage rate rollback at all?
I absolutely am. Speaking of rollback, what is, just so it's on the record, what is the rollback rate for the county portion?
All right, and the rollback rate they're going to get from Stephen Hall is 6.3807, okay, as opposed to 6.6. That would mean, okay, 6.38, that means on a $100,000 house, you pay $638 as opposed to $660. Okay, so that's $22 less. So on a $300,000 home, you'd save $66. Now you start to think, that starts to look like almost real money in a year. Not really, not so much, but, you know, for most people. But, okay, as opposed to $9, $66, if you want to think of it that way. $1 million budget reduction and millage would save you $9 on a $300,000 home. A full rollback would save you $66 on a $300,000 home, and it would be $7 million in foregone revenue for the county. And she's not super pushing for that, but she's saying she'd kind of like that, which would be the full rollback. That would mean a flat, no increase in taxes at all on you. So we will come back to this. This is a long conversation. Trust me, this is all groundwork. The fun stuff is coming. And by fun, I mean, oh my God, the stuff that happened in this meeting was crazy. But we'll come back to this at 6:10 and somewhere after that in the show, because I got Rick Scott coming on and we got Mike Wood. We'll see if he's going to be on today. It's been kind of quiet in the city. So, oh, well, I guess we had the shooting at the drive-by-ish at the place. So we'll talk about that. Anyway, we had a lot to go in the meeting. We might not even finish it today. Might have to be tomorrow, but don't worry. We'll get there. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hear that? That's Alka-Seltzer, the sound of fast heartburn relief. Because when heartburn hits, you want something that works fast. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Alka-Seltzer effervescent tablets start neutralizing stomach acid in seconds, so nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Next time, when that burning feeling comes on strong, don't wait. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Try Alka-Seltzer. Use as directed.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You need someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now you can meet them fast on ZipRecruiter.
Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
From the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I attended prom with Susan Hoffler. Picked her up in my truck. We slow danced to a Merle Haggard song. And then I left early to go to my shift at the quarry. I was 12 years old. Never went again. Felt like I had outgrown it.
But the only condition on the payment of this dividend that we're going to be making, so it's $5,000 to every adult. The only caveat I have is that the dividend that we're making must be spent in the United States of America. We don't want you.
Yeah, so in case you haven't heard, President Trump offered a reward, a wisdom dividend. If the Republicans maintain control of the House and the Senate in the midterm elections, then every adult citizen in the U.S. is going to get a $5,000 payoff from the government. You say, that doesn't sound legal. It would be if Congress approves it. It's not, they're not paying you for your vote. They're paying you for the result of the aggregate vote. And he is offering to put $1 trillion. I mean, it's just so obscene. It's so absurd. It's so crazy. What's the limit? Like, what next? I mean, are you going to see Hakeem Jeffries come out and be like, I make it $1.5 trillion. We'll pay you $6.5 trillion. I mean, is this going to be a bidding war for the loyalty of the American public? Oh, my God. You give the man an hour and 45 minutes to speak, and God knows what's going to happen. So with a $40 trillion national debt, what we're going to do is we're going to make it $41 trillion and pay everybody $5,000 ahead, as long as they spend it in America and as long as the Republicans win in the midterms, or so he says.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. During the first ever Republican midterm national convention, President Trump promising,
I will issue a dividend to every adult citizen in the United States of America for $5,000.
Fox's Madeline Rivera has more.
President Trump may not be on the ballot in November, but his policies certainly are. The president touted what he says are his administration's wins, from tax cuts, border security, to a deal with pharmaceutical manufacturers to lower prescription drug prices. He cast Democrats as extreme and warned what could happen should they win control of Congress.
Rhode Island voters deliver a pink slip to Governor Dan McKee, backing his challenger, Helena Foulkes. She wins a Democratic primary, faces Republican Aaron Gukian this fall. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 right now. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a couple of minutes. Well, if you work downtown or you're a Pensacola senior, there is a new option coming that could mean you don't have to ever pull out a parking app again. Mayor D.C. Reeves laying out the details this week as part of the city's bigger parking overhaul.
Senior permits now, that any, not just city residents, but senior permits, $10. If you work downtown, if you're always downtown, $10 a month, you can pull into a city parking space as if you were going into your driveway. You don't even need to get your phone out.
The $10 a month permit would let seniors and downtown workers park without having to check the app at all. It's part of their bigger parking plan that the city council will look at on September 24th, with changes potentially taking effect in October. A piece of Navy aviation history is on the move. An F-14 Tomcat departed NAS Pensacola Wednesday for a new home in Colorado. The disassembled jet is being trucked roughly 2,500 miles to the Pueblo Weisbrod Aircraft Museum. It'll be reassembled there for public display. The F-14 flew for the Navy for more than three decades. It retired in 2006. Florida's attorney general is asking the state's Board of Medicine to investigate whether AI platforms are engaging in the unlicensed practice of medicine. James Uthmeyer says the chatbots can appear credible while giving health advice, even without medical training. FDLE Commissioner Mark Glass warns that AI tools often don't flag dangerous drug interactions. Local doctors say that patients are increasingly bringing chatbot advice into their appointments, but they are cautioning that those chatbots should not replace a real physician's
full evaluation. It is 5:33 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a wet day today with a 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Another high chance of rain on your Friday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into your Saturday, 50% chance of rain, high near 89. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
5:34 News Radio, and right now we've got 74 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Its first foldable iPhone. CEO John Ternus.
iPhone Duo represents the incredible creativity, ingenuity, and dedication of teams across Apple. It reflects what's possible when we bring our very best work together in service of creating something truly meaningful for our customers.
The iPhone Duo will start at roughly $2,000 and will be available on October 23rd. Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing company has reported record monthly revenue for August, as demand for chips used in artificial intelligence applications remains strong. The world's largest contract chipmaker posted revenue of nearly $16.4 billion for last month, which is up more than 53% from a year earlier. Oil prices are higher this morning by at least 1% as tensions escalate in the Middle East. West Texas Intermediate up to $97 a barrel, Brent at $102. Futures are currently mixed ahead of inflation data later this morning. That's your money now.
Here's something you may not know about the local option sales tax. Visitors to Escambia County help pay for local projects, too. Every time a visitor fills up at a gas station, eats at a restaurant, or makes a purchase in our community, contributes to the penny. In fact, up to 28% of local option sales tax revenue is paid for by visitors. That means Escambia County residents don't carry the full cost of the local improvements we all rely on, from roads and stormwater drainage to parks, libraries, and public safety. For decades, the penny has helped fund projects that improve our community, with visitors helping share the cost. Want to see how the penny works and what it's funded right here in Escambia County? Visit pennyforescambia.com. That's pennyforescambia.com. Paid political advertisement. Paid for by the Penny for Progress Committee, Incorporated. 707 East Cervantes Street, Suite B, 241, Pensacola, Florida, 32501.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
I'm glad to be back. You sound
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves is joining us now. Sorry we missed you last week. We did good to have a chance to talk to your possibly one of your best hires ever, Eric Winstrom. I'll just say it. I think he's fantastic. D.C., welcome back to the show, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't agree more. Thanks for having me.
No, he's great. And by the way, this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose a team with legacy Lambert moving systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. So if only we had anything to talk about. Let's start with the big one from yesterday, parking.
Yep.
I had mentioned this briefly before when we were talking about this on the air. I was actually getting ready to ask you whether now with your big win in the primary and the public surge of support, when were you were going to roll out surge pricing? Well, here we go, right? That's what this is.
Yeah, ultimately, we've talked about this so many times, and I think, number one, it gave us a chance to pause and try to make life easier on people. What we realize is really lots of the complaints aren't a dollar an hour. Lots of complaints are either a misunderstanding of what's available or just ease of use. How do we come up with ease of use things? And that should always be an ongoing project for us versus policy, right? I think the senior permits now that any, not just city residents, but senior permits, $10. If you work downtown, if you're always downtown, $10 a month, you can pull into a city parking space as if you were going into your driveway. You don't even need to get your phone out. And you can sign up for that right now on parkpensacola.com. So you'll never have to get your phone out again, get a parking app out again, $10 a month. That's it. Just to make life easy, 75 cent parking for city residents anytime, Friday night, Saturday night. Doesn't matter, 75 cents, and you just register for that.
Is that by plate, by user? Is it through the app? No, how does that work?
Yeah, on the city resident version.
Yep.
Plate with the senior permit, obviously. Our people will see your plate. On the 75 cent, that will actually be through the app.
Okay.
But then when you go into your app, once you've registered, and Andrew McKay has registered as a city resident, then you would go in and every time you pulled up the Park Mobile app, it would be 75 cents an hour. It would flatten it out.
Okay.
Right? No matter what the rate is at the time. So,
and is that tied to my plate in any way? Or if my buddy is, we're in his car, I'm just curious how that works.
Yes, it would be the same way when you use Park Mobile, you put your plate in.
Okay.
Yeah, right. It would be once you put that plate in.
Okay.
It would be tied to that account.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a small detail, but I was just kind of curious. So go ahead.
Yeah, but the goal is to make life easy. But, I would say one, and I mentioned this in the media yesterday, and I'm not sure how much it got picked up. I was hoping it would. The one big fundamental misunderstanding that remains to this day, and we're going to keep battling to do a better job of communicating, is 1,600 spaces are free.
Yep.
24 hours a day. And sometimes we allow this conversation to get moved over to the presumption that every city space is paid downtown, which is absolutely not the case. And if you'll indulge me, I'll give an example.
Remember your example, because let me say this. Okay. You and I have clashed over parking for as long as you and I have been talking on the radio, okay? And that's fine. That's healthy. But I can absolutely confirm to everybody that there are loads of free spaces downtown because Andrew McKay has only ever paid for parking in downtown Pensacola one time in my entire life, okay, ever. I go downtown all the time. So there's plenty of places to park for free as long as you're willing to walk, a block or two maybe. So I totally agree. Go ahead.
That's a perfect segue. So here's what I tell you. If you parked at City Hall or on Spring Street, if you parked at Commandantia right behind the Holiday Inn, that right there is about 405 feet from Main Street. Okay, the northern part of the free parking lot, 24 hours a day. If you park in Spring Street, you're about 800 feet away from Palafox, not Bailey, Baylen even closer, or Spring, obviously, you're on Spring, going to a baseball game even closer. So what you're really talking about is anywhere from 400 to 800 feet away. This is how technical we want to get. Now, if you go on Google Maps and you pick the dot in the middle of the Creighton Road Walmart, right in the middle of the parking lot, to get to the electronics section is 600 feet.
That's good. I like that.
If you plan on buying something and not just teleporting away from the photo center and having to come back to your car, by the time you actually transact something from the photo center. You walk as far as you'll ever need to walk if you want to have free parking. So the point I'm making is, yes, it's absolutely an attitude change. It's a busy downtown that now needs churn in their spaces because people want to be there. But we always allow this, and I think we're guilty of it as anybody, to devolve into a conversation presuming that 100% of city spaces are absolutely paid, which is the vast majority are free all of the time. You can park a block away from Seville Quarter for free. You can park, again, City Hall, Commandantia, up by Wright Street. On every side of the busy district of our downtown, if you do not want to pay, like Andrew McKay, you absolutely have that right. You're just going to have to walk the same amount of feet that you walk when you go to Walmart. That's it.
You know, I love that illustration, and you got me thinking now, like, okay, if I go to Red Robin at the mall and then I want to go visit, you know, Dick's, how long am I walking in the mall? Which is... Right. Nobody thinks about that as a problem because
I won't replicate the science of this, but there's actually, and I don't know the terms, but there's some great urban planning blogs that talk about this. There is a psychological difference between you being able to see the Walmart and have to go around one corner where you don't see the restaurant you're going to.
Yeah,
that's literally it's a psychological thing.
The feeling of distance.
So it feels
that's a good
lot
point.
Longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sundays and Mondays are totally free. I love that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Friday until 6 are going to be $1 an hour like it is right now. Friday at 6 through Sunday midnight or whatever is going to be $1.75 an hour. And then, again, Sunday and Monday are free. And that's for people who aren't city residents. So it's really only for county residents because for city residents, it's 75 cents an hour all the time. The Jefferson Street Garage is going to be $1.75 all the time. And it's for special event, it's going to be a little bit more expensive. But the one thing I wanted to ask you about specifically is I know, and I explained it at length earlier in the show, that the goal of this is to create turnover in the spaces because right now people are parking for too long because the cost is too low. My question is, if you're going out to eat downtown and maybe you're going to see a show, okay, or not, but you're going to spend $100, $200 already, is 75 cents an hour motivational to you? I hate to be the guy to say it should be higher, but shouldn't it be higher?
Well, I think that's the natural balance. This is where I say welcome to my life, right? I don't necessarily disagree if this was purely, but it's a municipal service. And so obviously, and listen, let's prove your point right now. Go look at the private lots on Friday and Saturday night. They're charging significantly more than $1.75. So if it was about, you know, I know a lot of people that are frustrated with it say, hey, you know, this is this, no, a money grab would be going and charging the same thing that the private lots are charging.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. No, just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. And so we know that the demand is the point, not because we're ever going to get anywhere near what the private lots charge, but that it shows you, to your point, that is a question. Is that enough churn? The nice part is we had a year and a half of data, and so and this is staying true to what me and you have always talked about. Some cities do dynamic pricing where it changes during the day,
right,
based on demand and all of that stuff. We wanted to give a little continuity, but we felt like the trade-off of, listen, if you don't live in the city, you don't care about coming down on the weekends when there's already a million people trying to park downtown, then you know what? Let's give you a business day. Let's give you Monday to go get your tag renewed, to go to the courthouse, to go do all of those things that you now have a day of the week, a business day, to go and go support our small businesses downtown. It motivates you to be able to park right in front at the front door for free. Great. But then Friday and Saturday night, we continue to see problems. And I will say, for folks that don't work downtown or aren't downtown very regularly, we heard from several businesses since it's been closed. I know this, people won't believe us, but I'm telling you, we heard from several businesses downtown saying, hey, when is paid parking coming back? Because what was happening is people were squatting in those spaces. Yep. If you went around the YMCA, Tarragona Street, all of that, the people who lived in those apartments were just parking right outside their front door all day.
Right.
I mean, you don't blame them. They're allowed to do it. And so that's why churn matters. And so we think that this pricing model gives convenience and ease to people, but also better reflects what the demand and churn is going to be as we look through our data.
Why not $2 an hour? The $1.75 bothers me. It seems so, like such an odd number.
Well, if you'll come co-sign that, as counsel.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm the guy on the radio asking for higher rates.
You know why? Truly is my number one. We sat down for ease and said, hey, we're going to take this time out. Councilwoman Pat and I are going to figure out how do we make the process easier.
Yeah.
Period. And remember, this is a slippery slope. The last thing you want to do with any type of policy like this is change it every 6 months.
Right.
Because now people just don't know it. So we've got to kind of commit to something here and kind of stick it out. And so a lot of the policy has been the same. Some of the pricing will change. But what I'll tell you is I felt like it was very important that whatever we came back with was projected net neutral revenue, meaning so when people come and say, well, it's $1.75 an hour, now they're looking for more money. No, the Monday, you're giving the Monday up. We started – one thing we haven't even talked about, maybe for another day, is – all of the extra forgiveness to make life easier on you on the free strike, and then now your ticket's reset after 6 months instead of a year.
It's a step up. It's a 1-2-3 kind of process, and if you reset in 6 months, then you have more opportunities to mess up and not pay for
it. Which is what it was before, and you can actually now pay your ticket. There's going to be a QR code. If you get a big discount on the ticket, or if you pay it within a few days, and it's right on the thing. So what my point is we looked at the entire process. And I thought it was very important on behalf of the citizen to say, hey, I want this to be a net neutral change, meaning not, hey, we paused it and then we came back and then now we're looking that it increased revenue from what we were doing before. So to answer your question, we did the $1.75 because we felt like that was net neutral for what the revenue stream, to help pay for garages, to help pay. We have a $500,000 pending repair to the Jefferson Street, 42-year-old Jefferson Street garage right now. We got to pay for it. $500,000, and I like it when 83% of the transactions are from people who don't live in the city. And those are user fees that are coming from people who don't pay taxes to the city. So I just thought staying net neutral with the new changes was very important to me.
And that's the message you were clear about yesterday, is that the totality of the money this generates will not be an increase. It'll be the same. It'll just come from different people at different times of the week. And the money is going for downtown parking related infrastructure type things. People, again, they just, the price is going up. It's also going down. It depends on what day of the week you're doing. Oh, somebody texted in, you'll like this. They said, DC's slogan for promoting this should be, if you don't want to pay like Andrew McKay, you can park for free still. I kind of like that.
I could use that with so many things. I might just do that.
Yeah. Hey, wait. that felt a little shady now that I think about it. That's all right. All right. We always like to end. We didn't get to any of the stuff on the Flock cameras. The change.org that you guys are doing. I mean, there's so much stuff that I wanted to get to with you today, but we only have so much time. And this was like the hot thing right now, obviously. And the workforce, plan with Burdine, which all good stuff, but we'll get to that next week. I always like to end with a little bit of a lightning round. When you're reading a book, do you underline? Do you highlight? Do you lines in the right? Do you write in books or not write in books at all?
We're just talking about reading a book now. I'm just two-handed both sides of the book. But if it's some type of reference or something I'm reading at City Hall, then I'm a big highlighter guy.
Or highlighter. Okay, interesting. I'm an underliner or a lines down the side, not an in. I don't do highlight. My wife likes highlights. If you go to a hotel, what do you take that you could take? Let's imagine, used to be you get like the hand lotion, right? It's a little small. They did put that in the container now. But when you go to the breakfast buffet in the morning, they might have yogurts. They might have little peanut butter cups, apple or an orange for later. What free things that are semi-free, at least, what do you take from the hotel?
A lot of times, because I'm usually traveling for work, I would say the pen in the room.
Oh, okay.
Because I'll forget to put one in my backpack or something like that.
Gotcha.
My laptop, and I'm going down to a thing. So that's I'm a pretty frequent borrower of the pen. But other than that, I leave the towels and all the lotions to Andrew McKay whenever he.
Again, I want my free stuff with my free parking. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're profit and loss. I don't want to hurt it too bad after coming in after you.
All right. Last one. Did you have, when you were younger, a scared straight movie or PSA that sticks out to you as the thing that was like, I saw that and I didn't ever want to be disruptive on the school bus again?
I thought the DARE program was effective. I thought that was having the police officer in middle school in St. Paul's.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty effective. I thought you were going to say what scared me today is like a scary movie. I was going to talk about the Blair Witch Project, like going to watch that. But
okay, but what? No, well, how did Blair Witch scare you straight? Like kept you out of witchcraft and sorcery,
I think it was just like it was made such a big thing, and it was at my age at the time. You know that seemed like people weren't sure if it was like real or not.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just that's just what sticks out as my memory of. I don't know that it scared me straight to to not drive over the speed limit or anything, but I mean in terms of actually scaring me.
Well, I just think kids these days need to be scared a little bit more, and worked for us. You know, scare them off the bad things and probably make their lives better. They'll thank you for it later. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
All right, awesome. Thanks so much.
There you go. Scare them. That's what I say. 6:54 on news. They're kids. That's what you're supposed to do. Scare them a little bit. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is an outstanding place to start your looking process. They're like the smorgasbord of cars, the buffet of good quality cars, cars that are a year, two, 3 years young, 10, 20, 30,000 miles. They warranty all their late model cars 200,000 miles or 10 years. They're only selling good quality cars, A cars. They don't sell clunkers, okay? They don't sell cars you have to worry about. And again, if something turns out to not be perfect with it, they'll take care of you. They actively, proactively followed up with us after we bought our Honda 6 months out and a year out after we bought the car to make sure everything was okay. And I thought it was so weird. I'd never had a car salesperson call me afterwards. I mean, they'll call you afterwards like, hey, you ready to buy that next car? No. But he didn't do that. He wasn't calling for that. He was just calling, hey, is there anything, wrong with the car? Are you happy? Yeah, it's fine. Leave me alone. And then a year later, well, okay, one key doesn't work. Bring it in. We'll replace it. And in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I bet you will for $150. And I said, well, how much will that cost? He's like, nothing. We sold you a car. You expected two keys. You get two keys. So I brought it in. Took about 7 or 8 minutes. They gave me a key and I left. That was it. A year after we bought a car from them, a used car. That's who they are. They're following up. They're making sure you're happy because they want you so happy about Frontier that you come back again and again and again. And they have a great selection, so it's a great place to start. If they have what you want, buy it. It'll be a good price. If they don't have exactly what you want, send them looking. They go looking for people for cars all the time. Different color, different trim level, different price with mileage or years old, whatever the case may be. Frontier Motors is a great place to start your car shopping experience. Serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. I've now practiced law for over 44 years. I'm proud to say that my three sons are my law partners. We have 5 offices throughout the Panhandle: Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, and Navarre. If you have been injured due to the negligence of another, call us at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Good dental health starts at the beginning of life. For infants, wipe their gums with a clean, soft cloth after feeding and make sure to schedule your child's initial dental visit before their first birthday. As your child grows, make sure they brush twice a day and floss before bed, limit sugary snacks and drinks, and schedule regular dental checkups. Focusing on healthy dental habits early helps children grow into healthy adults. Visit floridahealth.gov/dentalhealth to learn more. This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Health and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Tune in to Pep Talk today at 10:30 to hear Ingo Stark from the Pensacola Beach Elks Lodge provide a preview of the upcoming Halloween 5K and Kids Monster Dash on Pensacola Beach. Find out more about the Pensacola Beach Elks Lodge, the charities they support, and the big event coming to Pensacola Beach Halloween morning today at 10:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Met a girl. Good morning, 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Of course, the mayor yesterday was talking fairly extensively about the shooting that took place at the Smoothies and Vibes, or Vibes and Smoothies, or whatever. It's not a place I've ever been, but a lot of places I haven't been. And he was essentially saying that, look, this is a place that we have had to go to a lot and they're not really doing their part to be a good partner in preventing crime.
I'm sure you guys saw the media release from PPD with the after the shooting incident at Vibes and Smoothies at North 9th Avenue business. There have been 32 police responses since March at this location. And I know that PPD, and we were aware of that before this incident, has had many meetings with the owners about the atmosphere that is building in and around the club.
All right, so he says they've been there 32 times since March, and they're becoming a nuisance.
This has become a nuisance enough that we were seeing recurring breaking of laws and breaking of rules, issues and concerns around this particular location.
So what kind of bad behavior?
There's been noise complaints, burglar alarms, numerous drug and illegal possession of firearms investigations and arrests. Most notable was the shooting on Sunday night, as well as the incident on August 29th, where an individual who was wanted for active felony child neglect warrant ran from police officers into the office where he was permitted by the owner to hide until he voluntarily surrendered to officers.
So his short version of all this is, look, it's creating a climate of lawlessness. It's becoming a problem. They have not been previously working with us very well. I mean, the shielding of a guy in the office, my goodness. But, you know, public safety is the number one concern that he has, and he wants to make sure that this doesn't become even worse. So no hard announcement of what's being done differently, but he basically said, look, you know, this is them to blame, at least in part. We can only do so much on our own, and we are going to do more, but the do more is getting them to do more because they are a partner in this and to blame to some degree. Big drama at this Escambia County budget hearing.
Local
coming up next.
In the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew.